Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm happy holidays, sacred days, our good Christian friends. It's a big day for them. For you all, and I say to you, God blessings and peace be on you. I'm on it. This is always a good Friday for us. Every Friday is good because it's the day of the gathering. The day of gathering. Rendered for those who need it. And the Arabic, Yom al-Jum'ah. But it's a day of gathering. So we are honored and privileged that God himself has so fit that every Friday, almost for now, almost 2 years, we've been live from Selma. God arranged it. I didn't arrange it. But it registered upon my consciousness that Selma is the place where we fought the last battle for civil rights. We have won the battle. We have begun the battle for our humanity. Nobody can give you your humanity. As Imam Muhammad went to see Pope John Paul, he said to his companions, whatever you do, don't forget our people. But prior to Imam Muhammad meeting with, he was at the Sacred Congregation for the Study of Islam, and a library filled with books on Islamic topics, all in Arabic, and scholars, Christian scholars of the Muslim world. Some of you will be surprised to know that the Christians have a Quranic interpretation. The Catholics have an actual interpretation of Scripture. It would be very wise for you to read it, and you have a much better understanding and appreciation for Christianity. However, that's not my topic. But one of the things that Imam Muhammad did say while he was there, one of the great cardinals said to Imam Muhammad, since you're from essentially a broken people, why don't you just urge your people to marry into other ethnic groups? Imam Muhammad leaned forward at the table and said to them, two things Allah has given me, Al-Islam and my African-American identity, and I won't give up either. And he then said, the reply to him, let's go to see the Holy Father. So the next day, the Imam went to see the Holy Father. I have great reverence for Catholics. I want you all to know that. Along my faith journey, I studied Catholicism. So I don't want you to ever think on this audience that I don't have sacred respect for Catholics. I have a sacred respect for Christians. And I told our Muslim brothers last week at a Christian-Muslim gathering that I didn't need any lesson in interfaith because in my home I had engaged in interfaith activity, namely with my mother, Virgin Maid Desmond. And my family is surrounded by Christians. So on your sacred day, I respect you highly. And I'm going to respect our Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, and invite him to the mic to address a five from Selma, but I think he's even in Birmingham, which was quite a battle. I hope Paul Connors is somewhere in a bullpen, spiritually, and I hope he's in a corner. But I will never forget Birmingham. It should be continuously etched into my environment. In fact, when I heard the mention of the word Alabama, it registered my soul. Know that we have had a survivor of Georgia, a survivor of Alabama, and now has survived Selma, and as William Faulkner said, has prevailed in the South. I am one of the great prevailers of the South, Imam Yusuf Abdul Jerusalem stands at the store ready to pass bread out to us today. Brother Imam, are you ready to deliver the bread to a hungry people?
Yes, sir, I am, Brother Imam.
And now is your mic, and we're hungry waiting at the bakery to get bread. That is bread for life. Thank you, my dear brother.
Dearly beloved Muslims, human beings, believers, we greet you with the human greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Let me say that I'm not in Birmingham. We're on the road to Birmingham, and I'm traveling. And if there's any disrupted sound, there's unnecessary chatter clouding up the broadcast, let me apologize for that. Now, this is Good Friday, and the Imam and common sense have said, and the book says, that we are to respect the good faith Christian, not because we accept their doctrinal error, but we are to respect element in them. And we have to make that very fine distinction. I can respect Christians all day in terms of their sincere faith. My mother was a Christian. My father, my grandfather were Christian ministers. All of my loved ones that I grew up with were Christians. And I respect, I saw the sincere faith. And we should respect that immensely, but at the same time, our book calls the Trinity and other Christian doctrines of blasphemy. And our book say truth comes up against falsehood and busts out his brain. And I don't think we've ever been taught to respect false doctrine, but we do respect the good faith sentiments of our brothers and sisters who are not party or privy to this plan to cover up what people really know about God, religion, and the true faith. The masses of Christians are not privy to that particular scheme. So if they're not covering up, they're not kufar. They are innocent in their lack of understanding and knowledge, and God knows their heart and their faith, and we ought to respect that. Now, let me say about how I look at Easter. Allah is the resurrector, and as long as the principle that exists in the picture, in the reality, the resurrective force, as a Muslim and a human being, we can identify with that. But there are some other things about Easter, and I don't know whether we recall it or not, but I remember clearly the Imam spoke at least 3 hours one time breaking down the negative aspects of Easter. To my knowledge, he never did come back and say, I want to modify that analysis that I was that was in my early days, and I wouldn't take that approach now in terms of analyzing Easter. But nevertheless, we can identify just like we can with Thanksgiving, that element in the picture in the human heart to make us want to be thankful. On Christmas, we can identify with the charity and the idea of the Christian faith and the importance of giving and charity. We can identify with that. But that doesn't mean that we identify with every nuance of Thanksgiving, Christmas, or Easter. And to be quite honest, it's much associated with those so-called holy days that's deeply rooted in abject paganism. And part of Easter is revelation of a scheme to use the rabbit foot or sex power to bring the Gentile down that rabbit on skis. And if we look at the events in America this week, the events in Indiana, the events in Arkansas, all these freedom of religion laws in the extreme contest, the culture war over values. Values related to an extreme utilization of the sex drive in the human being. Julia, there's a leading up to this day where the supplanter added to the resurrected principle in the human being and enacted his grand enactment where he planned to use fertility and sex power and rabbit power to bring down, as the imam said, the Gentile on skis. I had never heard of this to Imam Muhammad brought it out, but now we can see the things the imam taught years ago that was in the abstract being manifested now in the concrete. All eyes can see it. We can see it with a certainty of sight. But let's celebrate with our brothers and sisters in faith of the fact that Almighty God is the resurrector, that he gives life in the death, and he can resurrect the life in the death. That's a universal principle in all Abrahamic faith, and really is not limited to any particular branch. None of us have monopoly on understanding that that's an attribute of the Creator, and it's an attribute, and it's a feature of the picture that he has created. A natural principle in creation that gives rise to a resurrective process. We want to talk this day about debunking the myth of Ham, reflecting on the life of a blessed imam. And if we understand also what happened this week, when a son of Africa with Jafat, a European admixture, President Barack Hussein Obama, strode forward on the world stage, he took a big step in continuing human agency example as orchestrated by Allah to debunk this myth about Ham, that the African people are frivolous people, a non-serious, that's not inherently capable of shouldering the responsibility of serious human activity, government, and everything else. But this son of Ham pulled together the remnant of the Russian bear. Do you understand? The great Chinese civilization and its forces, a civilization of some 5,000-6,000 years plus, the remaining powers in Europe, and crafted a framework that could revolutionize global, geo-international political reality. Yes, we must debunk the myth of Ham. And as a servant of God, we do not have to put ourselves in a position to think that we are dependent upon kind of alignment with anyone. If they do not respect not only our inherent dignity as African Americans, but especially as believers in Al-Islam. A lot of things have changed in the global reality since Imam Muhammad passed some 7 years ago. A lot of things have changed since Al-Islam was the fastest growing religion in America in 1990s. When many of the wise and systematic strategies that the Imam adopted in order to progress this deen were certainly wise and intelligent, and they had a very profound impact. Let us not be presumptuous to think that we know what the position Imam would take facing current 2015 realities in America, domestically, politically, with drastic change in the political parties in this country, with drastic changes in the religious posture of a good preponderance of our Christian brothers. But he's not here. And Allah gave us akal and intelligence. But we should begin to make assure with each other, to consult each other, to debate whether or not these strategies need to be pursued or should they be tweaked or modified, given the realities some 20 years later in terms of the change. Only Allah can see and anticipate everything. Only He sees and anticipate everything. Only Allah lives forever. The Imam has passed from this physical plane. And I don't think it's too many that support him with as much sincerity as I try to do. But things have changed. And they have changed drastically. We living in the peak manifestation of Yom Medin, when these forces that have attempted to establish a plot and a scheme are expediting that plot and their scheme to bring it to a conclusion. But also Allah, who playing while they playing, is also checking them and bringing this thing to a conclusion. So I'm coming out of the city with one famous bridge, and on this Good Friday, it came out that Hillary Clinton opened up a bridge office and a bridge office north. The bridge in Selma is the bridge that's famous south. She's opening up her political office, campaign office, right near the Brooklyn Bridge in Brooklyn, New York. That's today. And let me say, I don't believe in endorsing candidates, but it's not a Gentile male in the Republican Party that I would dream of endorsing. It's not a one. They have demonstrated a coming up.
I think we lost our brother for a minute, and as soon as he's back on the air, we will bring him back with you, Brother Imam Yusuf Salam from Selma, Alabama. So we will talk with you until he arrives. Dear beloved people, you're listening to Religion Means Alive. I mean, I'm Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. I must tell you that we're making some very big, expansive moves to bring Religion Means Alive to the masses of our people. I would like for you, would like to help me, to call me at 908-463-4843 or to call me at 9, write me, Imam Alfred, or to write me, Imam Alfred at gmail.com. We're going to expand. We plan to buy radio time on a major radio station. We plan. We don't have the money, but we tend to get it. You're the supporters. Our people need a resurrection. I was at one of our messages today, and the brother gave a 65 speech. He's still talking about the resurrection and going into stuff in the Bible, when really what we should be addressing is the resurrection of our community. Everything in our religion points to social resurrection. It's not speaking of the physically dead. And when you really understand Christianity, you will understand that Christianity is not talking about the crucifixion of Jesus the Christ. It's speaking of a crucifixion of the Word of God. Don't you see that we're living in the crucifixion right now? Don't you, as Muslims, see that Imam Muhammad's words have been crucified? That they have fed him vinegar, the word hisap, and it made Imam Muhammad appear like he's an ascetic, one who doesn't walk as our beloved brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar says, must have and cannot do without. We need food, we need clothing, we need shelter. Our Muslim brothers and sisters and our people need food, clothing, and shelter. So our brother's back with us, and I'm going to let him continue with our message. Happy Resurrection Day to you. Every day is resurrection. Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam.
Yes, indeed. Oh, my brother, look, we traveling to Birmingham. There are some cool areas. And if you lose signal, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you loud and clear. Brother, I have a standby message in case you miss as you turn on the road. But remember, you're going from Selma to Birmingham, two battle stations.
Right.
Our young people should be obligated to know Selma, and they should know Birmingham. And as you travel with the spirit of Fred Shuttleworth. Travel with the spirit of Joseph Lowery. Travel with the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Don't also forget while you're traveling to travel with one of them FOIs went into Alabama with the Muhammad Speak newspaper. Travel. But travel in the path of God.
Thank you very much, Brother Imam. As I was saying, and believe me, I've studied the Imam. The Imam was closer to being a Republican was to a Democrat, surely an independent. But the Republicanism that the man identifies with is not the Republicanism that's being displayed politically by the Republican Party in this country. It's not the Republicanism of Lincoln. Once upon a time, a few years back, I was toying with the idea of working with some African Americans in the black belt to try to organize a Republican urge in our people. But with these extreme postures that's being adopted now, as believers, we are urged to stay away from the extreme. Now, let's just go back to President George W. Bush's administration to make this example, and I'm going to move out. They fabricated information about weapons of mass destruction. The people did not have weapons of mass destruction. They made up information, and they went into war with Iraq wrongfully. The majority of congressional people, both House and Senate, quickly supported President Bush's wrongful invasion of Iraq. I think in the House, only Barbara Lee, an African-American sister out of California, voted to support that war. But they went into, they supported that. They had no challenge to former President George W. Bush. They had no challenge, no talk about studying in detail the war requests, no attempt to introduce bills to stop the war. None of that. Gave him a blank check. Gave dictated a blank check. Gave Red Blood Rumfell, as he may call it, Red Rum, a field of blood shed on the rock. A blank check. And from that effort, it opened the door for all kinds of political intrigue in the Middle East. Opportunities to foment chaos, to manufacture pseudo-Islamic groups, to call all kinds of chaos from what happened in Iraq. Al-Qaeda Iraq, ISIS Iraq, from that decision. Now, here it is, we have another Islamic nation, 70 million people. President Barack Hussein Obama. They know we are not going to follow Netanyahu desires and bomb those people. We're going to try to work this out diplomatically. In working this out diplomatically, he had to help of John Kerry, an able political mind, a Caucasian. They worked together efficiently to avoid war, to avoid a situation possibly where another Islamic country will be invaded. The neocon, Sons of Shale in 1999, that Iraq and Iran be invaded. There always was a plan to have war with Iran. John McCain, when he was running . Now you have a situation where an American president ruling from the real, bringing original human nature to his deliberation. Japanese responsible American officials. We see Esau like Mitch McConnell going to Israel, as is prophetically indicated in scripture, and supplicating before Netanyahu. We see the Speaker of the House abandon the security interests of America and putting the security interests of another country before this country that he's constitution is born to protect and defend, bowing and supplicating before Shem. Why? Because Ham cannot demonstrate governmental excellence. Ham cannot have a successful legacy. We must not allow our mystical stereotype to be undermined by the successful work of President Barack Hussein Obama. Battle unity mix. Dua. Even when I ran, I was reluctant to make a dua for victory in that sense. Sometimes I made it. But believe me, I'd rather see a woman with some yin in her, with some human compassion in her, hopefully, than to have one of these neocon puppets. And neocon is just another word, secular word, for an abject, domineering, Westfall Zion, who still want the world to come to them and they step forward as some phony savior. If they step forward as some phony savior. So, I wish Hillary Clinton well, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on the well. Should I support Mr. Bush, who's gone and surrounded himself with these vicious chicken hawk neocons? Should I support Ted Cruz and Scott Walker and Rubio? Should I support them, who's already going on record essentially to go to war with another so-called Muslim country? No, indeed. Matter of fact, Scott Walker made a statement today, and I must move on, that in my opinion should disqualify him from being commander-in-chief of this country. That's another story. Not receiving Selma that they come into Montgomery. I was about 30 miles outside of Selma, and I saw two Caucasian people walking, and I stopped my vehicle and offered them a ride. Part of me told me they don't need a ride, they marching. I stopped the car, offered them a ride, and they said, "Thank you, sir, but we on the march." I started smiling. I said, "You marching from Selma to Montgomery." This is what the world is missing. This event that happened in Selma, touching people of all races. Here it is almost a month from the 50th anniversary, and people are still coming to Selma individually. Yesterday, I saw them walking across the bridge. It was two or three busloads. Wow. White Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans, you name it. that have occurred in terms of current events that highlight this idea of the day of resurrection. Actually, it started in 1975 when the signs of Surah 75, the resurrection, began to operate through the Adamic soul, 60-span soul of Imam Martin D. Muhammad. There was an airplane that was deliberately driven into a mountain in France. That was an airplane that was deliberately driven into a mountain in France. And the pilot committed mass suicide murder. His name was Andreas Lupitz. The name business that ran the Arrow affairs also began with that L-U that's in Lubin. Now, we bring that Z over to the L-U and the man that we get Lubin. Now, before Jacob built his, had his dream at Bethel, that place was called Lubin. Lubin represented the ancient pagan wisdom, as the Imam would suggest, that Jacob borrowed and embellished with his scheme at Bethel. So Luz represent all the ancient pagan wisdom of the Western world, Greece, Rome, and all of that. That's Luz. Jacob didn't reject that. He just added and refined the knowledge with his knowledge that he crafted at Bethel. Now, that word Andreas is another form of Andrew. Andrew is the brother of Simon Peter. When Jesus was talking about the signs of the time, it was Philip and two or three other disciples there, but the main one that was there was the brother of Peter, Andrew. And if we look at secondary events that's related to this idea of judgment on the world, that's not only under the wisdom of Jacob, but also new Hellenistic wisdom. That's why if you study the genealogy, and we got to move on, of Jesus in Bible, one say that he had a grandfather named Jacob. One line, the other line said that he had a grandfather named H-E-L-I, which is short for Hellenistic. And Paul was a Greek citizen. So the Judaic Christian ethic is an influence of Bethel-like Judaic knowledge and the wisdom of Greek paganism, or the Hellenistic culture. It tells us that right in the Bible, driving of the brain of Western civilization into a mountain by Andrew is a sign of judgment on that world that has reached its fullness. Now, let's look at a couple other incidents that's related. In Madison, Alabama, police officer named Eric Parker. All this is in the New York Times this week. Most of it came out of last Saturday's paper, March 28, 2015. Everything I'm saying can be found. And a law is in the details, not the deal. Officer who brutalized this man from India in Madison, Wisconsin. Madison, Alabama, was accompanied by a man named Andrew Slaughter. The same week that Andrew Andrea was in the paper for slaughtering these people down in Madison, Alabama. With this other incident, there was a man working with this victimizer named Andrew Slaughter. A connection to the fact that this pilot named Andrew, in the same general time, last week was being studied for slaughtering all these people. Why Eric Parker, right next to this article that I read in the New York Times, was an article about by the Oklahoma Frat Boys. Right next to this article was Andrew Eric Parker and Andrew Slaughter was an article about Parker Rice, one of these frat boys that was chanting the racist chant. Connecting up the racism of Eric Parker with Parker Rice. Now, there was another frat boy named Leroy Levi, as in the priest class, whose mother is named Susan. Parker Rice and Levi Pettit committed this act on March 7, 2015, the exact date of the anniversary. The Selma to Montgomery March. March 7th, Bloody Sunday, March 7th, 2015. Parker Rice, the mother of Levi Susan. When you combine those names, you get Susan Rice, who was a victim of big, ugly racism when she went before the Zionist lobby called AIPAC. This suggests Madison wrote the law with Jefferson about First Amendment freedom of religion. And this man did not separate his hatred against Muslims, this Eric Parker, from his general hatred for dark-skinned people. So all he saw was a dark-skinned man that looked like a Muslim, and he tried to break his back. What we have to understand as African-American non-Muslims, that There is a connection between any oppression that Muslims may receive in this country and the racism that was demonstrated by Parker Rice. But this racism does not come from the Gentile alone. It was established by the Judaic priest class, Levi. And his last name, St. Pat. And the Gentile has been made nothing but a puppet on a string to Zeus, who raped Europa and put a rope around his neck. Oh, yes, told him that Jesus, who is forever connected up with Joel and Jewel, is divine. Then he put him a rope around his neck by putting the image of that Jesus in his image, the European image, with European features. Put that rope that forever enchained him until it's removed to an orientation of white supremacy. Then we see out in California, look at the New York Times today, there is a big drought out there. A drought represents an absence of water or morals. We can't understand what happened in Indiana and in Arkansas, where the gay power groups demonstrated more power this week than any minority group in the history of this country, including African Americans. These people can get things done in a week that it took you decades to do. The corporate world did not intercede for the mission of the Nation of Islam, certainly did not intercede in the civil rights movement. None of the mega corporations called George Wallace and told him, look, if you don't stop whipping black folks down there in Alabama, we're going to stop doing. There have been some little subtle innuendo, but nothing that blatant, nothing that coordinated. Now, I don't agree. I'm not jumping in as a student of Imam Muhammad to this fight about freedom of religion. When I heard Sean Hannity say last night, if we are not free to discriminate without religion, if I own a shirt shop and a Muslim come in there and ask me to print Allahu Akbar on it, you think I'm going to do it? So what kind of freedom are you talking about, me? If you really advocate freedom of religion, then why you want to talk about discriminating against a Muslim who want to make a T-shirt with a law walk on it, which merely means God is the greatest? But you might concede rights to these gay groups, but you will reject those who are only saying that the one who you call the creator is the greatest. We have to be very, very careful there before we sucked in the end of this foolishness. But where did this gay power come from? California came from San Francisco and spread it big time all over the nation. And while this is happening this week, there is a lack of water in the state where this started. This man, Jerome Brown, which means holy, state caught up in the browning of the cow scheme. How now brown the cow? How do you control the world? Brown the cow, or color religion, or tan the eyes, tan the scripture, and hide the wisdom. That's a sign of the judgment. And in that same state, there is a boat out there that allegedly runs through the state that if an earthquake comes, it could tear California up. the same name as the man who slaughtered these people on that plane. Yeah, San Andreas' fault. St. Andrew's fault. So they assigned to the judgment today that they got the drought. Inshallah, they won't have the earthquake tomorrow. Well, brother, that's not enough to connect California up. Oh, yeah. We're 150 years from the president that gave us the Gettysburg Address. He was assassinated in 1865, some 150 years ago. A man's grandson that has the same name as Gettysburg, J. Paul Getty, grandson. Was found evidently possibly killed with a sex crime where someone potentially had injured him in the anus. And he allegedly bled to death from his rectal anatomy. Now, I'm not saying that that's the report. I don't know what happened, and you don't either. But what was his name? The same name as Andrew Slaughter. The same name as Andrew, the suicidal pilot murderer. The same name as Andrew Slaughter of Madison, Alabama. And then up in Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, this brother, Tony Robinson, was killed along the same time, again connecting discrimination against dark-skinned religious people in African America. But what was the name of his spokesman? One by the name of Turin, the main American correspondent that's covering this issue. A reporter by the name of Tour, tied in Madison, Wisconsin, Madison, Alabama, taking us into Quran and the revelation on Mount Tour, which we don't have time to get in now. Oh, yes! We're going to get ready to bring this to a close. I'm on the road. I'm having it cut out three quarters of what I had to say today. Yes, California is under judgment. Most of their trees are dying. The rivers are drying up. What was one of the signs that took Pharaoh down? That's talked about in Quran and in Bible. They say it's a once in a thousand year drought. Moral decay came out of California and spread throughout the American nation. Big time. Now, we dealing with Easter. And Easter is time by the moon. And there was all this stuff in Indiana. And they talk about ISIS over in the East. This little made up ISIS. As we approach an eclipse of the moon, tomorrow's day before Easter, on the 47th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, he received the Nobel Peace Prize. The anniversary comes up tomorrow. Obama received a Nobel Peace Prize. Just yesterday, and 8 is 14. If Dr. King was living, he would be 86 years old. 86 is the reverse. Of 68. 86 again is 14. If we know anything about the moon, progress is 14 days and then it begins to shift gears. Do you understand? On May 19th, Malcolm X would be 90 years old. 1 and 4 is 5. If you add those 14 related to Dr. King, you get 5. And if you add the 9 and the 90 of Malcolm, you get 14 again. You're listening to a student of Imam Muhammad, but a duck is speaking with a man's voice. Look at where this stuff broke out. And in Diana, I-N-D-A-I-N-A. In the world of Western mythology, Diana is associated with the moon. Also, a European mythological figure that's synonymous with Isis in terms of Egyptian mythology. So, Indiana suggests that the ark that before the Kealite, the man said, and get in that ark, that loop, and get inside our head. In this Western world, and their understanding of religion is Isian in its focus. And they're in a state of being influenced by Diana. But Quran says on the day of judgment, the moon will be cleft asunder. That this Isian influence in a state of Diana. Allah was working on bringing the Quran in the same state from an early group of Muslims who were organized in Kentucky. In 1889, they existed as a Muslim Ummah in America until 1906. They left Kentucky and they went to Indiana. And every year, they used to make a pilgrimage to Chicago, come back to Illinois, and go back to Indianapolis. This is a historical fact. Now, that was the beginning of the movement that ended up the Nation of Islam in Chicago. We know about Noble Drani. We know about Marcus Garvey. But we don't know that from the before the Constitution of America was signed, you had an organized Muslim movement in America called Ben Ishmael, or the tribe of Ishmael. Oh, yes. Rod gave the Nation of Islam ice house idea, but it was black ice. But unlike these other people, Quran left a de-icer. Quran Kareem. He has a picture with this de-icer in his hand. Quran Kareem. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is sitting down with his son, Waruddin Muhammad, holding a de-icer in his hand. So, Quran had a good side. Yeah, I'm going to give him this black eye. This moon teaching. But I'm going to give them something to eventually de-ice that ice. Now, what can take the American mind out of the state of being in Diana? brothers on the right, they have lost the cultural war. The gay movement in America has defeated them. They don't have the power to have the great moral values of Jesus Christ in the books implemented in America anymore. They were soundly defeated. What do they have left standing on? This extreme idea advocated by Jim LaHaye and John Hagee and Brian Fisher and others who have taken over the Republican Party. John Boehner and these Republican politicals went to Israel because they fear that part of their faith that's been aligning with Netanyahu since the late 90s in the person of Jared Farway. And what do they believe? That somehow a battle of Armageddon is going to occur in Israel, and all the believers, unbelievers, are going to be murdered on this plane. So what's your platform now? Who are these unbelievers that you want to murder? You mean to tell me that the love of Christ got you believing in an idea that you got to spill all this blood in a predominant Muslim area, some on the plain of Megiddo or whatever foolishness you talking about? You've lost the culture war in America. And now that pomegranate, bloodthirsty, Roman wolf nature is coming back out. The man said, Jacob gave you the image of a pitiful, suffering Christ, because your savagery had brought blood against him when you sacked the temple. Do you understand? And he tried to civilize you by taking your heart with a suffering, compassionate, pitiful Christ. But the man said, and you can see it clearly now, but when he get under the pressure of war, so he tends to revert back to that bloodthirsty nature. No, I'm not looking for any interfaith alliance with these bloodthirsty people that going to Israel by the hundreds, being told by their religious leader that they to the Holy Land, this is where 2 million is going to be slaughtered. That's not Billy Graham. That's not the good faith Christians in this country. But many of these people control now the power along with the neocons, these secular Zionists. And they want a war. They want Armageddon. And they want to shed Muslim blood. Because they both feel Quran. Why do they feel Quran? The de-ISA. Because it does exactly that. Takes the ice out of Orthodox Judaism. Take the ice out of right-wing, extreme Christian orientation. You can't stand for the good and right anymore. There's a so-called, you call it a Christian nation. That's what you say. But you can't even keep the abomination from taking your society on. And in your impotence, hiding behind superior technology, Israel 200, America with all kind of nuclear bombs. And you want these people to be stripped naked and innocent when your pomegranate, savage nature rise up again. And and in the name of a risen Christ, you pursue your bloodthirsty savagery. If you're really strong, then God will bless your efforts here in America. And you will not be humiliated by having to run, tail, and hide when you take a so-called moral stand. You need to come out of that state of Guyana. It's icy and pain. But you're afraid that the imam brought the clarity of Quran and his student, President Barack Hussein Obama, on the stand, and he's trying to be fair and protect the interests of all of humanity, because the imam said he's the Hajj and he understands what you want to do. Every reporter said today that the retaliators, they've already made up their mind for war against Iran. Red Raw, bloodthirsty savagery, the Jacobite experiment of trying to civilize you and soften your heart with a tender loving Christ in this day of Yom Medin has evidently failed, because your only agenda now, you can't come with water. You want to come with the fire of superior weaponry raining down in the Holy Land in the name of some Armageddon that Tim LaHaye is advocating. That's a total distortion of what Jesus brought and what the book of Revelation means. Dearly beloved Muslims, there's a lot more that needs to be said, but we're going to bring it to a close. Brother Imam, that was some hot sauce. That was some hot sauce. We leave you as we greet you, greeted you in the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Brother Imam, can you still hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you loud and clear.
Any questions or comments?
I'm going to raise audience, dear audience, if you have any questions or comments, just press 1 on your phone. If you're not on the line, press the call 805-727-7013. While we await that call, I'd like to ask you a question about what just happened in Kenya with the killings at the college. What do you make of that? And also recent events in Nigeria with the election of the general.
Well, let me take Nigeria first. It's my understanding that this Mohammed, his brother, has a history of leadership in Nigeria. Obviously, President Jonathan Goodluck did not have the interests of the masses in mind. If so, they would not have rejected his leadership so profoundly. So I have hope that in this most populous African Muslim nation, that first of all, they come to treat their brethren, their Christian brethren, with respect and dignity as human beings. But I'm hoping that Muhammadu leads the Nigerian nation into a glorious 21st century. That's my hope with that. I'm looking at that development somewhat positive.
What about what went on in Kenya?
What went on in Kenya is, again, are we looking at Shabaab as a legitimate organic group? We have to be skeptical with these things. It happened in the president's homeland. He announced that he's going to Kenya. Since this deal was announced with Iran, this framework agreement is not a completed deal. You had the Kenyan incident. You had these so-called three Muslim women in Brooklyn, terrorists in and another one today is in Philadelphia. Look, we can't be naive. We certainly don't want to be paranoid. But I'm well beyond today after doing my research into blindly accepting and face value these incidents. They may be legit in the sense of some genuine organic Shabab group, or they may be another instance of some radical political Islam that's been stimulated by a Western intelligence agency. I'm not saying that's the case, but Brother Imam, that's a possibility.
It certainly is when we also study the Countertail program. So it is certainly a possibility. And
every radicalist, look, every, and I told you this 2 weeks ago, every radical organization in the East, Islamically, Wahhabism, Salafism, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, all those organizations were created by Western intelligence agencies. That's a documented fact that can be proven. And you know I'm not the one to make wild statements, but I have the research and documentation with me. So, no, Lawrence of Arabia working with Ibn Saud started the wild.
That's right.
The British wanted to get in there and dominate that all.
That is correct.
Bayna Hassan created the Muslim Brotherhood. He was a student of Jamal al-Afghani, who was an atheist, a British spy, and a fundamental and founder of early political Islam. That's a fact.
That's right.
Hamas was started by, I think, the British in Israel.
Well, what about when we look at
they were started as a counterweight to the PLO when Yasser Arafat was strong.
That's right. Also, we know that Hassan al-Banna, founder of the Brotherhood, wasn't even didn't even believe not Hassan al-Banna. Yeah. What was the other guy that founded the
Saeed Ramadan?
He was one of those fellows was an atheist, the guy who founded Islamic, I mean, the whole idea of Pan-African, Arabism. So
that was
communism.
That was Afghani.
Yes.
And he was the grandfather of all of these folks. The Ayatollah Khomeini worked with the Americans to overthrow Mossadegh in Iran in 1953. And then when Khomeini became the leader in 1979, we know what happened. But Islamic forces worked with the CIA to overthrow this secular nationalist who wanted to nationalize the oil in Iran.
That's right. And also we know that Osama bin Laden worked with the CIA.
Initially in Afghanistan. But one of the problems is that once these Frankensteins are created, when they become a giant, sometimes these powers lose control. I will acknowledge that. But they do create them.
That's right. That's exactly right.
They're nefarious geo-international political agenda.
If there are no other questions, I'm going to leave you to enjoy the great city of Birmingham and to thank Almighty God, Allah, that we're not back at the time around Easter, I think almost 50 years ago, when those young women were killed. This is fresh in my memory, as it is my first birthday.
And we should never get that out of our memory. It should be a part of our historic journey. Wouldn't you agree, ma'am, that this is a part?
Yes, sir. And we must be cool. We must be intelligent in this day of Yom HaDin, when all kind of intrigue and treachery is occurring on the global stage. Now,
yes, sir.
This fellow who wrote that letter, Tom Cotton, this new senator out of Arkansas, the same state as Asa Hutchinson, and the creator used that to show that there is a connection between these political forces now and these radical Christian forces. Now, he was hand-raised by William Crystal. There's been several commentators who have talked about this. Bill Crystal's father, Irving Crystal, started the neocon. And he is pulling Tom Cotton's chain. And Cotton was on, Senator Cotton was on the media today bashing everything about this agreement and planning and suggesting that war is the only option.
Yes, sir. Well, dear beloved, I'm not going to hold you any longer.
Well, thank you, my brother, and hopefully what was shared will shine some light on these matters. Just a little bit more about these things and what the ma'am would have brought. We know that, but we're living in a different time. We deeper in the day of judgment are becoming more and more desperate to hang on as Allah is checking everything they plan.
That's right. Thank you.
He hit him with a surprise Mac attack with President Barack Hussein Obama, that harsh man, that wonderful son of Ham.
That's right. So we thank you, my dear brother. Your brother, well, thank you. Assalam to our beloved audience. Thank you. You listen to Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And you have listened to Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. Those of you who wish to send donations, you can send those donations via the, I'm trying to hit a button here. You can send donations to Imam Alfred, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, or you could send them to Imam Alfred at Gmail via PayPal. We thank you in advance for your assistance. Thank you for your work. We thank you for what Allah has blessed you with, and we will continue to see you tomorrow on Religion Means Alive. Thank you so much. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. Listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Thank you.